We have an interview with Pierre-Luc Dubois, a conversation like no other. His relationship with Patrick Laine, it goes beyond just being drafted back-to-back and then the big trade with each other, and it might be continuing even though they've swapped cities. A cool story on how a buddy that he grew up with helped pick his new number, and Pierre-Luc Dubois' dogs. Yes, his dogs, one of which snores through the entire conversation. I kid you not. And we're going to let you meet them. It's Pierre-Luc Dubois on The Chirp with Darren Millard. Roll up, Bobby.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
Really growing on me, Stammer. Really starting to grow on me.
It is.
You guys are sensitive over there.
Off and running with episode number two. Again, looking forward to chatting with Pierre-Luc Dubois. Won't spend as much time before the interview as we did last week because we've really introduced ourselves. Everybody knows who we are. I'm Darren Millard, along with producer Robert Bob Bender. I've given him a new first name, Robert Bob Bender, who is with us here. Bob, can you just reinforce your title with me again?
Oh, you're going to make me give you the title again.
Yeah, okay. I just
Well, the official title is Director of Podcasts and Audio Development here at the National Hockey League. That's the official title. The unofficial title is your boss.
Good point. And did I tell you that you're my favorite boss, like, of all time?
Yes, keep telling me that. That'll reflect in the paycheck for sure.
Who's your favorite team, Bob? I've never talked to you about this.
My favorite team is coming off a very rough weekend. It's the New York Rangers.
Okay. Well, there's a light at the end of the tunnel there because the New York Rangers have all those picks. And if they can do what the Washington Capitals have done with their picks, Robert Bob Bender, they'll be in good shape because Washington is now to the point where they can win without their superstar. A couple of things I didn't see coming. Washington, first place without Ovi. That's amazing. Florida in first place. And will we finally, Bob, see the rivalry with Tampa Bay? They've never met in the playoffs, ever. Wouldn't it be funny that in this weird year, we might get Florida and Tampa Bay fighting for a division title? And I didn't see Ottawa losing 8 in a row. I thought they would be better. They convinced me. They sucked me in, and now I feel like, oh, what happened? But they did score 5 goals the other night against the Edmonton Oilers. The problem was that guy, McDavid. How about him? Like 20 points in the first 11 games, Bob.
That's incredible.
Yeah, the second straight year he's done it. That's crazy.
And the goal he scored where he just weaved through the Toronto Maple Leafs. Nothing short of, as I've already said, incredible. That was prototypical Connor McDavid. Incredible goal.
You know, it reminded me of one of those 80s video games where you drive the car and you go left and you right, and it's like the screen's just coming at you. One of those primitive video games. You're just going left, right, left, right, and you're steering around everybody. Gretzky, by the way, had 20 points in his first 11 games 6 years in a row. McDavid's a third of the way there, which is a lot closer than I ever thought he would get. So that's awesome. I mean, games are as close as they've ever been. We've got more 3-point games out of the gate than we did last year. In the last 5 years, 3-point games are up 5% over the next closest. So that's really cool. Amazing numbers from the NHL stats department on that. So a number of 3-point game. Ottawa's not enjoying that very much, but we do have a reason to celebrate right now. And that's the reverse retro jersey. Do you have a favorite, Bob? Because I've got a couple. I'm just curious. The Ranger one, if that's your team, with the Statue of Liberty, is outstanding. Washington's is beautiful.
I'm a little contrarian here, I think. I don't love the Statue of Liberty. I'm from New York. I'm a Rangers fan. I don't love the Statue of Liberty. My two favorite, and I think in this sense, I'm not contrarian. I like the Colorado Avalanche. Mm-hmm. I love that jersey. And I like the Kings, the purple Kings jersey. Those would probably be my two favorites.
Well, Colorado is awesome because of the Nordique tie-in, and you're going to be hard-pressed to beat that one. Minnesota, I'll be honest, that tugged at my heartstrings a little bit, seeing those roll out with the stars on the side of the pants. That was really cool. Winnipeg's got a good one, although, you know, something's happened in that town where the anticipation for the reverse retro sweater has kind of fallen below what people are looking forward to when it comes to Pierre-Luc Dubois and his debut. He's got the new trade. He's got the dogs in town. He's ready to go. He's just waiting for clearance to be able to step on the ice. And while he's sitting around, we thought, why not catch up with the new center for the Winnipeg Jets in a discussion that you have to stick around to for the very end, if no other reason than to meet the dog that snores through this entire conversation. And you'll hear the reference to it, because it was kind of like I was looking around in my own room going, what is that sound? Here is Pierre-Luc Dubois on The Chirp with Darren Millard. Out of the gate, are you happy, Pierre?
Yeah, very happy. You know, I'm here in quarantine, not doing much, but a lot of time to watch the games, do videos, stuff like that. I'll be even happier, though, when I'm able to play and meet the guys in practice.
So tell me what a typical day right now in quarantine is for an NHL star center.
Yeah, well, I wake up. I have to get tested, so I go to the rink, and then I stay in my car. They just come, do the cotton swab. It's one of the most uncomfortable feelings in the world, but, you know, it has to be done. Then come back home, and that's my day right there. 10 o'clock. I do meetings about the system, stuff like that, whether it's D-zone, O-zone, tendencies of the team. Try to watch some film. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
So have you mastered the raise hand function on the Zoom in the meetings?
Yeah, exactly. I'm getting to know Zoom pretty well. So by the end of it, I should be an expert.
So you get to go to the rink, drive over there. Are you doing that yourself, getting to know the city, at least on how to get to and from the rink? Because that's a whole new thing.
Yeah, it's so they tell me just to take the most direct route possible. But, you know, like on my GPS, it gives me three possible ways. So I'm trying to do every day a different way to get to the rink. But it's a pretty nice, easy drive to the rink.
This will be the goofiest question that you'll be asked, but like, have you spent some time looking at a map of Winnipeg and trying to figure out where things are, that kind of thing? Or you just go with it once you jump in the car?
Yeah, I've tried on the map a bit. You know, my parents are here, so I've asked them. And then I've asked guys on the team. You know, guys give me restaurants or, you know, a nice places, nice neighborhoods, stuff like that. And then on the drive, you always see the rink. The river is, you know, ice now, so people are skating. So that's really cool, too. But I can't say I'm an expert yet of the map of Winnipeg.
Well, if you go to the practice facility, make sure you don't miss that turn, because then you'll end up in Brandon or Regina. That's the key when you go down that path. So give me an idea, now that you've had some time to think about it, your reflection on this journey that you've gone through.
Yeah, it's been a crazy, I'd say weeks, but even a couple months. You know, everything that happened, I think you can learn from it. And, you know, how I see life is that, you know, stuff happens, some good things, some bad things, some that you weren't expecting. But the most important thing is to learn from it and grow from it. And, you know, I'm finally here in Winnipeg, like we said. You know, it's finally, you know, behind me. And now I can finally look forward and see that, you know, I have my first game, my first practice, my first season here with the Jets. And, you know, it looks really, really exciting.
When did you find out, and how did you find out about the trade? Because there was so much speculation about your future.
Yeah, so the night before, I was on the phone with my agent. Then you start seeing rumors. Then, you know, I you could kind of feel like it's something's coming. Then the next morning, I was at David Savard's house, but in the backyard, because, you know, we can't even be in close contact, even away from the rink. But I lived there for a year, for my first season with him and his family. So, you know, I felt something was coming. So I went to, you know, his backyard to talk, and then I got a call. And then 6 hours later, I'm on a plane to Winnipeg. So, you know, it started with a call from my agent. Then I called the team. We had a chat with Kevin and Paul. And then after that, I was on a plane to Winnipeg.
You go over to Savard's place to talk. Is that just to get rid of like nervous energy, some anxiety? What do you guys talk about?
Yeah, well, you know, we both felt that something was coming. You know, my agent felt like it was getting closer and closer. You know, I was told not to come to the rink. So you can kind of, you know, it's that's something that a trade's happening. You just don't know where yet. And like I said, I lived there for my first year with Savard and his family. I had a really, really close relationship with them. They're family to me. So I kind of wanted to spend those last moments, you know, with him and his family.
you're very firm on trying to keep the details to yourself, but how many people did you share why you wanted a change of scenery with?
Yeah, well, as soon as I got to Columbus, or as soon as camp started, I felt that it was that I had to talk to my teammates about it. My second year with the whole Panarin and Bobrovsky situation, we didn't know what was going to happen with them, and they talked to the room, and I think it was kind of calming to hear their way of thinking. And Torts wanted me to talk to the team, and that was something I also wanted to do. So I told them, I went into details, and I told them if they wanted more details, they could come talk to me more. I didn't know how long I was going to be in Columbus, so I didn't want there to be more and more questions as time went on. I wanted to, for the guys to know how I felt and why. I told them, obviously told my family members, but I didn't want it to, broadcast it either.
Was it a relief when you talked to the guys?
Yeah, it was emotional. It's guys that, it's teammates, but it's friends. It's guys that have helped me ever since I got drafted into the league. It's guys that my first year made me feel comfortable, made me feel like Columbus is a home. Guys like Savard that I lived with my first year, guys like Bjorkstrand, who was one of my best friends, Texe, guys like that. It was hard. It was hard, but it did feel like a little weight off my shoulders. I think it's always good to communicate to your friends and to your teammates, rather than hiding everything and there being more questions about you.
So speaking of Texe, did you teach him that move that we saw in the shootout the other night?
No, I wish I could take credit for it, but no. That was all him, and it was a really nice goal. So that was
how would you describe that?
French flair, I guess.
It's a backhand shovel. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I know Foligno has a move that he tries like that. It could be like a variation of it. But Foligno doesn't. He tries in the practice all the time, and it works like 10% of the time. So Texe, I guess, gave that boost that gave it a better chance of scoring.
Paul Maurice does not wait for somebody to tell him which way the wind is blowing before he comes up with his direction that he's going to go in. So in your little bit of conversations with him, what have those discussions been like with your new head coach?
Yeah, well, like I said, we talked right after I got traded. Said that I'm joining a really good team with a lot of depth. Whether I play in the middle, whether I play on the wing, whether you're on the first or fourth line or second or third, there's a lot of depth on this team. There's a lot of talent, a lot of skill. So wherever you are in the lineup, you're surrounded by players that can play. And the way this team plays, fast, physical, a big game, talented game, kind of it reflects how I play. So I think it's going to be a good match. And I'm doing video with the coaching staff right now to learn the systems a bit more, but like he said, it could be a really good match here.
Okay. I'm feeling pretty good about myself right now because look at my background and then I'm looking at yours, and not too many times I can outdo a National Hockey League player. So how do you get your stuff? When do you get your stuff?
Yeah. Right now the team was amazing. I got two dogs here. I think you could hear one snoring in the
snoring. Yeah. I was going to get to that.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
It's great.
But the team's been amazing. They found a house for me here. So I got that. And then I brought kind of the essentials for me, the essentials hockey wise, clothing wise, and then for the dogs too. And then I got a lot of boxes in Columbus still that hopefully I can ship out beginning of next week. We're still trying to get that coordinated with the team. But like I said, honestly, it was stressful. It was a stressful couple hours before my flight to come here. But the team has been amazing in helping me. And helping me, just relax and know that everything's taken care of.
Because most times you can flip back to the city that you're traded from and break in the schedule and do some packing up and grab some stuff or at least organize with the movers. You won't get a chance to do that. So do you have any idea when the rest of your belongings show up or how?
Yeah, I mean, it's still kind of, I'll be going for sure at the end of the year to get, everything. But But I tried to put in boxes everything that I would need for, you know, the end of the season here in Winnipeg. Hopefully I get them in the next week or two. I got enough to survive for now, so I'm good. But yeah, I mean, like you said, usually you could go back and you know, whether it's a day off or something, just go back and you know, take care of everything. But now with COVID, that's no can do. So it's gonna have to wait till the end of the year.
What's the one thing that you didn't bring with you that you went, I really need that, or I wish I brought that?
Honestly, that's like one thing that when I was packing, you know, you always think about, I can't forget anything. And I honestly brought everything I needed just driving here, or driving to the rink every morning to get tested. It's sunny here. And yeah, when the sun hits the snow, it blinds you. And a couple of times I've been driving back and my eyes are watering almost at the stop on the side of the road. So I forgot my sunglasses. So I asked my parents if they could come drop a pair off here, because it gets very, very sunny when you're driving, you know, and the sun hits the snow.
I grew up in Brandon. I worked in Winnipeg for a number of years, so I know exactly what you're talking about. It can snow as late as Easter, so just know that. But you're right. There's, even though it's cold, and you'll experience that, and everybody knows about that. But that high prairie sun, it's awesome, but you got to be ready for it.
Yeah, exactly.
What's mom been bringing by?
Well, my dad had to calm her down, because when she knew I was getting traded here, she wanted to come immediately. But then with the COVID rules that she couldn't. So I'd say she comes probably once a day and just like stands in the entry here, like outside in the driveway. And we just talk for 5 minutes, and then she brings groceries. She brings, you know, she brought cookies the other day, stuff nice. Like that. So she's extremely happy, but my dad too, but I think nothing compares to how a mom feels.
Dads are pretty cool. Like they gotta have that cool factor, like, and not get too excited. But your dad's also a coach. So has he shared to you a little bit about Winnipeg with the Moose and the same systems that they run with the Jets and what to expect?
Yeah. Ever since my dad's been here, he's talked about the organization as a whole and how professional and how they treat everybody here. And I think the systems between the Moose and the Jets are very similar. You know, I do video every day with the coaches here, you know, defensive systems, forecheck, stuff like that. But, you know, the other day when I was watching the game against Edmonton, between one of the periods, I called my dad. We talked a bit about, you know, some of the things, a couple questions. But then the next day, obviously.
Can you share any of that? Like a couple of questions?
Yeah, well, you know, here we talked about one of their mottos here. And, you know, I wanted to ask my dad, you know, if they kind of do the same thing and with the Moose, and he said yes. And then, you know, kind of examples in the D zone or offensively with the puck. You know, it's fun to be able to have a coaching staff that you know, he could do video with right now on Zoom. And, you know, I think it's also fun to have, you know, a dad here that knows about the organization and about everything too.
Do you know Patty at all? You were drafted right beside.
Yeah. So I know him a bit because at the draft we spent time together, like the top prospects, doing events and all the interviews, stuff like that. And then throughout the years when we play against each other, you know, just hey, what's up with the face off, something like that. But I wouldn't say we know each other too well.
So you haven't talked to him through this whole process?
Yeah, I texted him. I texted him 2-3 days ago, wishing him good luck in Columbus. You know, that he was going to like it there. That if he needed a place to stay, he could have, he could rent my place there. But yeah, I texted him and he texted me back, you know, same thing, said that the Jets organization is, you know, an incredible organization that I'm going to love playing for them.
Well, this is good, because the first time I interviewed Patrick was at the draft, right before the draft lottery, and he was in bed. He was lying down. I don't remember that thing.
I remember that one.
So I was really glad to see you sitting up and against a wall when we started this thing. What tips would you give him about Columbus? Like what hot spots, like good breakfast places, good restaurants? What would you tell him?
Yeah, it's a young city with the, you know, Ohio State there. From my first year to now, well, now I left, but to now, you know, there's a lot of new places, new restaurants, new buildings. So I'm assuming they're going to keep going in that direction. You know, there's really nice people in Columbus that work at every place, and you know, they try to make you feel really good, and they try to make you feel at home. And the players too are they have an amazing group there in Columbus. So I'm not too nervous for the adjustment period there.
What kind of pressure do you feel coming in to Winnipeg in this whole swap, or do you?
I'm not really that type of person or player. I already have high expectations of myself, and I know what I can do and on the ice and how I can help my team win. And I know that, you know, people could put pressure on you, but I doubt that people have higher expectations towards me than I do towards myself. So, you know, I think when you work hard and you put the time in, you know, there's no reason to be nervous. There's no reason to feel more pressure. You know that you've done everything possible. And, you know, like I said, I know what I can do to help a team win.
We Manitobans are a little self-conscious, and we get our backs up when we hear that people don't want to play there. So you embracing this opportunity, it's going to make you an even bigger rock star. Are you ready for that?
Yeah, it's, I mean, like I said, my dad's been here for four, almost 5 years. So I know a little bit about the city and about the organization, about the fans. But I mean, whether you look at the wideouts in the playoffs, you know, just driving to the rink every morning, see all the license plates with the Jets logos on them. I mean, it'd be very hard to try to find a city with more passionate fans than the Jets. I mean, it's something special. It's something special to be able to play for an organization like this, playing for a fan base like this. And I think it's an unbelievable opportunity for any hockey player to be able to, like I said, to play for such a, you know, a passionate fan base.
Kevin Cheveldayoff keeps his cards to the vest as much as anybody I know, because I used to cheat off him in math class, believe it or not, back in high school. But I'm curious how excited he sounded when you had the first chance to talk to him to know that you guys had finally consummated this deal.
Yeah. He had the same things to say as Paul, kind of, where, you know, this team is a really good team already. A lot of skill throughout the lineup, a lot of depth. But it's a team that, you know, I kind of play the way the Jets play, you know, where it's fast, it's skilled, it's physical. It's working hard. You know, I think that it will be a perfect fit here. And you know, that's kind of what the message was on that call.
I'm excited for you to spend some time with Paul Stastny, because his brain is so deep when it comes to the thoughts on the game. But he's wearing number 25, and that's in tribute to Thomas Steen and his history with the Jets, with Alex and that relationship. You're going to wear 13, and that comes from a conversation with a buddy of yours, and he wore 13. So take me through that journey.
So when I got traded here, one of my friends, he's like, okay, PL, I went throughout the lineup, and he's one of my best friends, so he knows the numbers I would have taken. So he's like, look, 18's already taken, Brian Little, 11, Nate Thompson, so you can't, 81 if you wanted to flip the 18, Kyle Connor. And then after that, those are the number, well, 18, 11 are the numbers I've had my entire life. So then you're kind of going into no man's land. And that same friend, he had number 13 when he was a kid. So he gave me permission to take it if I wanted it. I went number 13. Kind of looks like 18, like the 3.5, 8 kind of. Yeah. So, and it's a number I like. And Cam Atkinson in Columbus, who was great for me while I was there, has number 13. So I was like, all right, why not? Why not? It's a good number.
Who's the buddy? I want to know who the buddy is that you asked for permission to wear 13.
Yeah, so he's one of my childhood best friends. His name's Samuel Letellier. He plays at the University of Three Rivers. But he's a pretty funny guy, so he gave me permission. I thought it was an honor to be able to represent him.
You're going to have to get him a jersey now, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's part of the deal.
Who's snoring? Is there a way for you to move the camera? And what kind of dogs do you have?
She's under the table. She's... might be hard. She kind of woke up. I got a French bulldog and an English bulldog. My French bulldog's by the fire over there, so he's warm. But this English bulldog, she's a little more attached to the hip. So she's sleeping like under the table right here. But
really?
Yeah.
Go on, flip the camera.
All right, she moved, so She's
look at that. That is comfy.
When she falls asleep, I mean she sleeps upstairs in one of the bedrooms, and I just put her there because she sleeps in my room, or she sleeps up by my door. I can't sleep because she snores so much. So I gotta put her away.
How old are they, and what are the names?
So my French bulldog is turning, he's two. Well, he's turning two in February, so basically two. His name is Philip. And then this English bulldog, she's 9, 10 months. Her name's Georgia. Oh. My mom's from Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. So she got a little say in the name.
Nice. And Philip comes from?
Philip comes from, I don't know. His name was Pierre. I got him. His name is Pierre. The first name that they gave him was Pierre. Yeah. So I couldn't keep that because that would have been a little creepy. So I mean, kind of looked like a Pierre too. So
what's a Pierre look like?
Yeah, kind of. He looked like a Pierre. So I kind of want to stick with that. I like human names for dogs. There's either that or what was the other one? I think Kurt.
Oh.
But I went with Philip because Kurt was my sister's choice, but I went with Philip instead.
Listen, this has been really fun and enjoyable on our end. Wish you the best of luck. When do you come out of quarantine, and when do you think you might be able to skate with the team for the first time?
I come out of quarantine. If it's the day I got here, that started my quarantine, it'd be next Saturday.
You got another week?
Yeah, I got another week. And then I don't know. Maybe I don't know. If they want me in the lineup as soon as possible, I'll be ready. I got a bike here, so I'm working out every day. But I'm not sure exactly when I'm going to be in the lineup.
We'll be following with great interest and rooting for you to really have this fresh start and be back with your mom and dad in the same city is really cool as well. Thanks for doing this, Pierre-Luc.
Thank you.
A good friend of mine, he had all these great sayings. Well, they were supposed to be really good sayings, but he screwed them up all the time. Nick Kiprios, Kippyisms. Two peas in a pot. That's what we were, two peas in a pot. But he always said, let laying dogs lie. Never understood what that really meant, but that's there you go with Pierre-Luc Dubois. Let laying dogs lie. What a great family he's got going. And there is some hope, by the way. I know that he's got another week of quarantine. But the Winnipeg Jets have applied to get permission to allow Pierre to skate this week, to go to the rink, practice, and then go right back home. And what that would allow him to do is he would still have to serve his quarantine through the end of the week, but he'd be able to jump right back in the lineup as soon as his quarantine ends. Bobby.
Hey, Darren, just want to give you credit there because you did a great job in having him flip the camera there. For those watching on YouTube, and you can check out the podcast on YouTube, on all your audio platforms as well. But you did a great job. That's going to be a little increase in the paycheck, you getting him to flip the camera so we could all see the French bulldog there.
Did you get the sense he didn't really want to do it at the start?
Oh, that's why I'm giving you credit. He did not want to do it, and you got it done. So that's where you get the credit.
When Pierre said, dog's under the table now, and then I saw the dog. The dog is in the middle of the room. I'm like, Pierre, where's the table? He's not the only dog. I'm a massive dog fan. My lab's over here. That's what I originally thought was the snoring, was my lab, Austin. But there's a great Instagram post this week, and I have to give credit to Jerry, Marshall, and Cash. And Bobby, this is the Instagram post of the week. It reads, happiest birthday to the best dad in the world. Love your boys, Jerry, Marshall, and Cash. And that is to Tyler Seguin. It's T-Seguin 92. So those are from his three labs, wishing him an Instagram post. Isn't that nice, the labs? Now, my dog's not that smart, but I love my dogs, but they can't do the old Instagram.
Talented pups, Seguin has.
And he's a talented guy too. How about like Ovechkin and the Capitals doing great right now, and Tyler Seguin not in the lineup, and Dallas won their first four games out of the gate, all at home after the slow start. And I was thinking, isn't that unbelievable? And I started looking through it. Then I realized everybody's winning at home right now. And if you go back in the last 10 years, another one of these great numbers from the NHL stats department. Go back the last 10 years. This is the second best start by home clubs in a decade. Now, does that not strike you a little bit odd, Bob, that we have the second best start by home teams in a decade and we don't have fans.
A little surprising for sure. A bit of an anomaly, maybe. Not sure. We'll see how it goes moving forward. But yeah, surprised to see that in a decade. That is surprising.
What would your explanation be if I could ask you that right off the top of your head? I've talked to three head coaches in the National Hockey League, so I'll bring you their answers or their explanations after yours.
Well, now you're putting me on the spot here. I would just think it's tough to be on the road and you're on the road and you're unable to do the things you would normally do on the road, go to restaurants, have dinner. Maybe you're a little flat staying in the hotel room. Maybe you're a little flat just not having the normal routine you would be in when you're normally on the road. That would be what comes to my mind right away.
You're a smart guy. One of the coaches said exactly that. Mental fatigue, boredom, just not being ready. And you wait all day. You can't do your regular thing at out for dinner, bonding with the fellas. Bob, you could coach in the National Hockey League right there.
I got my resume out there. Okay. It's getting pushed out there.
There's a GM opening. I don't know about a coach yet, but there is a GM opening with the Pittsburgh Penguins. So the other two explanations were teams are just really excited to be playing in their own buildings again after the experience in the bubble. And that coach thought it might just trail off a little bit after teams get just the fun factor of playing in T-Mobile Arena or Madison Square Garden or those rinks. And the last one was total fluke anomaly, and it's going to go back to regular in 5 weeks or so. I do think it would be really neat in one of those chaotic ways that we would have this great home ice advantage without fans and have all the psychologists, sports psychologists trying to figure that one out over the course of time. But we can't wait. St. Louis Blues are going to have paid attendance this week. So that's another step in the right direction. So looking forward to the Enterprise Center having people in the building and cheering on their St. Louis Blues. We also opened up listener questions, audience questions, and you can chirp us at hashtag Chirp Mallard to get all your questions in. And Bobby?
I just have to say, over the weekend, you threw this out to your social media followers.
And I didn't ask you, and I should have.
You never ran it by me. That's fine. Yeah. That's okay. You're the executive producer. I mean, this is your show, no doubt. You know, I'm just here to kind of steer you through a little bit.
EP titles. That's good.
I saw my notifications. I haven't seen that many notifications ever. And so I thought something happened, that there was an emergency. I didn't know what was going on. So it was comforting to see that it was actually a segment that you were brewing up. The Chirp Mallard segment, Chirp Mallard.
Chirp Mallard. You'll have to get used to that. That's what all my friends, my professional friends call me is Mallard. So I consider us professional friends right now.
Yeah. I didn't know that actually. I mean, we just started talking maybe 3-4 weeks ago. I didn't know that your nickname was Mallard. So I was sitting there like, oh, well, he has a typo there in his own little hashtag, but it's nice to know that was not a typo.
Okay, can you be moderator? Will you do that for me?
Well, let me get to the them real quick. Do you have the first one off the top of your head there, which is the scenario? Remind me where you wanted to go here. Sorry, my bad. I don't have my Twitter open.
I was going to go TARP or the 2-game, 4-game series or both. Whatever
you
want.
Go with the 2-game, 4-game series first. Sorry, ill prepared here. I thought you were going to maneuver through these, and I was going to tee you up with my question. So why don't you go with the 2-game, 4-game series first?
Okay. All right, Bobby, can you moderate for me here?
Okay, I'm just trying to pull it up here. See, this is live to tape, folks. This is off the cuff here, and I have a lot of mentions. I'm trying to stall. I'm trying to find it. I'm struggling. Okay, here we go.
Yeah,
here we go.
You're good at it.
At Todd Adair 1, he came in with the question, how do you feel about these 2- and 4-game series? What would you like to see them continue? Or excuse me, would you like to see them continue in the future?
2-gamers for sure. That is like, can you imagine throwing that 2 per season where you got to square off against the same team back to back inside your building? I think that'd be just a different way to juice up the schedule a little bit and spice things up with a different thing for the fans, the broadcast, home and away. I think that'd be awesome. The 4-gamers, see, that's tougher because teams like basically only play each other max four games, maybe five, depending on what Steve's formula is. Steve Hetropetros doing the schedule with the National Hockey League. Senior vice president, by the way, of scheduling is Steve. But I think the four gamer is going to be really tough. The two gamer, no brainer. We have to do it. I think that'll be one of the, I know last week John Cooper said no victories for COVID, and I'm with him on that. But in this 56 game schedule, the two gamers, I think we could sprinkle in, not every week, but I like the two gamers. I enjoy that.
I agree with you. I got one. We didn't talk about this before the show. I'm going to throw this one at you. This is from Shannon Walker at Cattywampus 44. And I'm putting you on the spot.
That's a good name right there.
What is the funniest, most bizarre thing you've ever seen in a pro hockey game?
Pro hockey game. That it was probably one of those intermission segments where you're on the air and the producer gives you something going to break and somebody's dancing on the ice on a unicycle, balancing plates with somebody on their shoulder or something like that. I would say that would be one of the craziest ones. And I was also in a rink where somebody ran across the ice and went down the tunnel. And that was different, unusual as well.
That's pretty bizarre. And also last week, what you dealt with as you covered the Vegas Golden Knights, to see the general manager on the bench coaching Kelly McCrimmon taking over for Pete DeBoer as COVID protocols and AHL coaches on the bench for a pro hockey team. That was a little bizarre, no?
See, that was different because it broke at about 4 o'clock. We had a 6 o'clock local start time. But the only good thing about that, Bobby, was like Kelly and I have known each other for 30 plus years. Going back, my family billeted Wheat Kings. He was the general manager and the coach. Like I was in radio in Brandon. We've known each other forever. So if there's ever going to be a guy to step in as coach at the last minute and you needed to know something on the fly, it was Kelly McCrimmon. So it was actually kind of fortuitous for me. And I was working with Gary Lawless that night, fortuitous in the sense that that I didn't have to do any research. It was, I actually went out and just went for a stroll around just to kill some time because I was all right. No, not about that, but it was really neat. And I have so many friends back in the Western Hockey League that I was able to phone a couple of his assistant coaches, one in particular, Darren Ritchie. Want to give him a shout out. He's the general manager of the Wheat Kings now. And that was great to be able to lean on people. So yeah, you're right. That was different, really different. But because I just fell into some good luck, it was not stressful.
Okay. And for the last question, comes from me, actually. I'm going to ask you, again, maybe putting you on the spot here a little bit.
Questions from Bob.
Yes, questions from Bob. It's a new segment. There you have it. What team, and likely if you're watching the games, you're probably not thinking about this, but we're going to take this deeper. What team has the best TARP game? In your opinion, and that's the sponsored tarp around the seating and the colors. Which one do you like?
So normally in looking at this, like we watched the bubbles in Edmonton and Steve Mayer, our buddy, did a great job with the presentation. And I think because that had to be so neutral, I think some teams thought we have to make it look like nothing's there. And we have to be generic or blend in. And there is a couple of teams that have gone bold. Normally, I'm not a bold person. I would go with just have the tarps there, see the sponsors, and then nothing stand out. But my top five would be like Winnipeg is spectacular with the blue and the logo right at center ice.
Nice bright blue for sure.
That just pops. Detroit. Just jumps out at you. It is really cool. You know, you're spinning around the dial on NHL TV and you jump, you go, that's Detroit right there. Like that. It's like old school, the Garden or the Montreal Forum. Buffalo looks awesome. What else? Vegas with the gold right in the middle, more generic at the ends, but that gold just pops. And, how did I forget this one? Top five. That's four. Gritty's roost.
Yes.
Like being able to, the overall presentation isn't what Detroit or Winnipeg is, but Gritty's roost, like building your whole presentation around your mascot. I would go Philadelphia as my top. I didn't think that the I'm like, now I'm a tarp guy. Like I look and go, that's neat.
It certainly makes it pop. Yeah. For sure. And it's certainly distinct. And you bring it up with Detroit. I mean, you know, when you're flipping around the dial there, this is a Detroit Red Wings game right away. You know it and it pops. And I think the teams, the clubs that have been creative with the tarp game scenario, you got to give them credit. That's
I so it's funny you bring that up because I've heard, Bob, through the grapevine, that there's a couple of teams who have watched what other clubs have done, and they're considering changing their tarps. I don't know what it costs to change tarps, but I know for a fact that there's two teams that are looking into it because of the way Winnipeg pops and Buffalo and Detroit okay. and all that. And they've got great color schemes, not going to mention team names, but they've got great color schemes that you could do it. And their hockey operations are going, why do we look so bland when they're looking so great?
Well, if COVID has taught us anything, you have to adjust and be adjustable. And the clubs that are looking into upgrading their tarp game, nice job out of them. Now, we may get, by the way, once this gets published, just so you know, we may get emails from our higher ups and they may question why we're talking about tarp games for 5 minutes. But you know what? This is our show. This is our show. Yeah. So we can do
this was by the way, recorded on 2/1/21. I should mention that because 2/1/21. When are we going to get to do that again?
Yeah, it's funny. I saw 2121. I think it's like, I'm not sure. Don't quote me on this. I saw something. Is it going to happen like 50 years from now or something like that? I don't even know.
Well, it can't happen in 50 years. It's not 21.
Well, yeah. Well, you know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying.
Oh, see, this is good. We got through the opening week and we were all prim and proper. And now we're just beaking each other. This is outstanding. Also want to mention that it's February and that is Black History Month. And we want to give everybody the shout out to check out Color on Ice, Soul on Ice, right?
Sorry, I was on mute there. Soul on Ice. Yes, Soul that's the ice. Name of the podcast. Soul on Ice. He's going to have some great guests. Kwame Mason Akil. Is going to have some great guests. And Akil Thomas, of course, prospect for the Kings. And Elijah Roberts.
Elijah is awesome. And Akil Thomas is just, he's a pistol. Like, I love watching him play. He is so good and dynamic and outstanding. Got a lot to watch him in junior hockey and now LA Kings prospect. So Soul on Ice, check that one out, as well as the other podcasts available on the NHL.com platform, NHL Fantasy, and of course, NHL at the Rink. Bobby, we got to fly. At least I do. I don't know what you're doing for the rest of the day. Shoveling?
I got to shovel myself out. I'm going to use the snowblower. I'm going to
get the snowblower.
I'm going to fire it up and we're going to have some fun with the snowblower. Okay.
Really? You got a snowblower?
I got a snowblower. You need the snowblower occasionally. And this scenario here in the Northeast, we're getting dumped on. We're about 14 inches or so. So the snowblower will make an appearance.
Well, because we got dumped on here last week and I used a rake. So I'm a little jealous that you have a snowblower.
Vegas snow. Yeah, that was surprising to see as well. That was bizarre.
Thanks to Scott Brown from the Winnipeg Jets for helping us out and setting up the interview with Pierre-Luc Dubois. Hope you enjoyed that conversation. We'll be back with episode number 3 of the Chirp podcast with Darren Millard on NHL.com next week. Enjoy it.